Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. You say, hey, I don't want to go to hell. Well, then let's talk about salvation. That is the title for today's presentation. Let's talk about salvation. Men and women are all sinners. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, men and women have been born in sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible also says this in Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden when they disobeyed the commandment of God not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Again, that's Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Bible also says this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Thus, we see that the sin of man originated in the Garden of Eden. Sin is a transgression against God or a disobedience to the commandments of God as written in the Bible. The sin in the garden led to the immediate spiritual death of all of mankind. Because of sin, we all eventually suffer physical death also. The Bible says this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of our sin, we are under the condemnation of God, and the wrath of God abides on us, folks. According to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, and Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, God sees our sins, our hearts, and our good works from an entirely different point of view than we do. Isaiah 64, 6 states this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade away as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 puts it this way, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Next up, we've got Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we see that the best of our good works that we have to offer God is as filthy rags. That's in Isaiah 64, 6. God also says that no one is right before God. We saw that in Romans chapter 3. God also said that our hearts are dark and deceitful, and that we cannot know it without the intervention of God. We see that again in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. We are enemies with God, and we are alienated from God. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Next up, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you, between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 state this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. We know from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. What this means is that we must pay for our sin with the death of our body, soul, and spirit. In other words, the wages that we are paid for our sin is death. Many folks have a wrong idea about death. They consider death to be the end, but it is not. Death is nothing more than a change of state. When we die, we change from a temporary state to an eternal state. The question is, where will you spend that eternity? Will you suffer for an eternity in the lake of fire, or will you rejoice in eternal bliss in honoring and glorifying the God of heaven in heaven? The Bible meaning of death, folks, is separation. To die means to be separated. In death, our soul and spirit are separated from our bodies. The Bible also uses the term second death to describe the eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. And folks, that is for unsaved folks. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible also says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now the Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, that our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 9, verse 17 warns us, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. The Bible ominously states in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The judgment referred to here is the great white throne judgment. This judgment is described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. We're going to go read that passage now, starting in verse 11 of Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. No one has to go to hell. It is an individual choice. The question is, will you choose eternal life in heaven, or will you choose eternal death in hell? If you choose to make no choice at all, then you choose hell, because the Bible says in the following in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 and verse 36. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." Listen at this, folks. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." This is verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's a pretty stern warning there for lost folks. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. And it states this, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Now that phrase, turn ye, means to repent. Repentance is a turning from a life of sin and a turning to God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Folks, there is no salvation without repentance. You must exercise, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, "Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That is Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Now, repentance is not worldly sorrow. Repentance is godly sorrow. The Bible describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, where the Bible says this, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Men and women cannot repent of their sin without the power of God the Holy Ghost living in them. God gives men and women the power of repentance through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear. You will never repent unto the saving of your soul until you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me state that again. Let's be clear. You will never repent unto the saving of your soul until you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When men and women exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes to live in them. Repentance cannot be worked up in the power of the flesh. Repentance is a work of the indwelling Spirit of God. Repentance is the evidence of salvation. Through repentance, the lost sinner becomes a new creature. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, we have talked a lot about sin, but what is God's remedy for sin, folks? Man has no remedy for or escape from the death and condemnation brought about by their sin. The good news is that God has provided a means of deliverance from the penalty of sin. That deliverance, or what we call salvation, can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the following in John 14, verse 6, and in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that name, folks, that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. This means that the only remedy for your sin that God will accept is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lost and dying on our way to hell. It is through God's mercies that he reveals to us that we are lost and without hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3, verse 16. God commended his love to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now the wages of our sin have been paid by the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not of men. There is nothing you can do to earn salvation. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 put it this way, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 describes it this way, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That again is Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Folks, salvation is not in the church. That means that you can join every church in the world and still die in your sin and go to hell. Salvation is not in the baptismal pool. You can walk through every baptismal pool in the world and still die in your sin and go to hell. Salvation is not in some teacher, preacher, or evangelist. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Let me repeat that. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. According to Psalm chapter 37, verses 39 and 40, and Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 39, But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Repeat, salvation is of the Lord. That's Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Now, the question arises, what is salvation? Salvation is the deliverance of your soul and spirit from the penalty for sin, which is eternal death, also called the second death. For the Christian, the resurrection is the redemption of our dead physical bodies at the time of the rapture. Salvation comes through faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, puts it this way, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In order to be saved, you must personally believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that your sins were buried with him, and that through his resurrection, you have the power to go forth in the newness of life. This personal belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is also referred to as faith. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we see this. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." From Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we know that baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believer, baptism symbolizes the death of the old nature, the burial of the old nature, and the resurrection unto a newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 describe it this way. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Now that we know what salvation is, how is it that we come to salvation? According to the Bible, we must be drawn by God. We must come under the conviction of God the Holy Ghost. We must exercise faith. We must be brought to repentance by the Holy Ghost. We must be regenerated or born again by the Holy Ghost. And we must publicly confess our faith of unbelief before men. The Bible says this in John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." According to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, and Romans 10, 17, God uses the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God from the Bible to draw the lost sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, state the following. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And that is John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Now, verses 8 and 9 in John chapter 16 tells us that God reproves or convicts the lost sinner because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. To say that one believes not on the Lord Jesus Christ is the same as saying they lack faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 puts it this way. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That is why we have prepared this information from the Bible on sin and salvation. We want you to hear from the Word of God what God has to say about your sin and its penalty and your need for repentance and salvation. We sincerely hope that having received this information from the Word of God, that by faith you will ask God to save you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will grant you repentance unto salvation. God says the following in John chapter 3, verses 3-8, that you cannot enter the kingdom of God except you be born again. So let's go and read John chapter 3, verses 3-8. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, and we're talking about Nicodemus here again, folks. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That is John chapter 3, verses 3-8. To be born again means to be spiritually reborn from above by God the Holy Ghost. It means to be regenerated by God the Holy Ghost. It is life from death. The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from death by the power of God the Holy Ghost, that ye might have eternal life, and folks, also that I might have eternal life. It is a personal possession. That same Holy Ghost resurrects you from physical death through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 puts it this way, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you are a Christian, the rapture will be the time for the resurrection or changing of your body. The rapture is the redemption of our bodies, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which takes place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13-18. If you die before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, your vile body will be resurrected and changed. If you are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, your vile body will be changed so that it can enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. I repeat, ye must be born again. And I want to make this statement too. There are those out there that are teaching that you do not have to be born again in this particular dispensation. That is heresy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. And that applies to everyone. The final event that must take place in your salvation is public confession. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8-11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you will be honest with God, confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him, raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, you will be saved, folks. The Bible adds this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking there, folks. Start it over. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That is Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. If you will by faith confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that Bible-believing Christianity is not some dead ritualistic religion. Religion is man's attempts to get to God. Christianity is not a religion, but is instead an eternally living reality. It is the product of Christ living in you, folks. Christianity is a reality of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in you through the ministry of God the Holy Ghost, who indwells every born-again believer. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, today, if you're lost today, today can be your day of salvation. It is most important and most urgent that you not play games with God. If you do not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and turn to God, there will come a day when God will stop dealing with you about your sin, and you will die in your sin and suffer eternally in hell. If you were to die in a car accident today, or die of a heart attack today, would you find yourself in hell after having forfeited one last opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How about it, friend? James 4:14 says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In the next split second, you could be breathing the flames of hell, folks. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14 says, asks the following question. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? The answer is that all those who do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will dwell in the everlasting burnings of the devouring fire of the lake of fire. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. That's Revelation 14, verse 11. Question for you. Will you be the one that dwells in the everlasting burnings of the devouring fires of the lake of fire because you either rejected or did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I would encourage you today to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin so that you can come to salvation. The moment that you do that, you will come to salvation. Thank you for joining us today.